Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Psalms 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Our gospel reading is from the New Testament, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of God for the people of God.
Before I begin, I want to say that had I realized the significance of today's date, even last night, this would have been a totally different sermon this morning, because 58 years ago today, something happened that changed my life forever. I am, of course, talking about the television debut of Star Trek. And a glimpse of the world I think we would all like to see. But what really surprised me, because it's Holy Spirit, it just pops up at you. Now, I came up with the title of this sermon months ago. And the series that followed the original Star Trek was Star Trek: The Next Generation. Now, my sermon title is An Encounter with Jesus. The first episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation was Encounter at Farpoint. Whoa. Anyway, I digress, and squirrels are running amok. Let's pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Four rabbis are debating scripture out in the garden, and one of them notices that he is continuously outvoted by the other three, even though he is absolutely certain he is right. And at a certain point, his frustration gets the best of him, and he stands up and he raises his hand and he says, "My Lord, you might know, or you must know, that this is the right way. Give us a sign to let us know." And as soon as he has spoken, a cloud materializes out of nowhere. It moves in front of the sun and dissolves again. And the other three look at him and go, "Well, that was certainly unusual. But the weather's been acting up a bit lately, so this does not really mean anything." And they continue with the discussion, unmoved. Well, the fourth rabbi, increasingly desperate, again stands up and says, "My Lord, they continue to defy your word. Please send another sign to help them see the error of their ways." Well, this time it's not just one cloud, but the entire sky darkens, and a thunderclap sounds, and a bolt of lightning hits just next to the other three rabbis. And they're startled, but after catching their breath, they conclude that, well, no, you don't see that every day. But it's late summer, thunderstorms can come in surprisingly quickly. We're out in an open garden. There's no lightning rod on the roof of the synagogue, even though there really should be one. So this really doesn't mean anything. We'll stick with our viewpoints. Thank you very much. Well, now absolutely livid and still outvoted, the fourth rabbi gets up one final time, stamps his foot, raises his hands, and shouts, "Oh, Lord, you who created all, for the love of your people and the ways of the world, make your will known so that it must be clear even to these stubborn mules." And a booming voice fills the sky. "He is correct." And the other three rabbis look up and they look at their colleague. And finally, one of them says, "Well, that's still 3-2. Our reading today from the Gospel of Mark finds Jesus tired, and I am only going to be focusing on his encounter with the Syrophoenician woman. So Jesus is tired. I mean, he is very tired. He's pooped. He has no pep. He needs some Vitamita Vegemin. Low energy. I'm glad there are people here my age, because younger people are going, "What?" He is preached out. He is exhausted from healing people. He needs some downtime away from everyone clamoring for something from him. He needs to rest, recharge, rejuvenate. And so he sneaks away to the region of Tyre, hoping to escape the crowds and to have a bit of peace. We've all been there and done that. We know it's important to sometimes get away and just relax and not have to think about anything. And Scripture says he entered a house and he didn't want anyone to know he was there. He was incognito. And he wanted to be left alone. But like the best laid plans of mice and men, it didn't happen. Somehow the word got out. And Jesus, who now has a growing reputation as a healer, is in a house in the village, and a woman whose daughter has an unclean spirit, which was perhaps epilepsy or a mental illness, comes to ask for his help. And she interrupts Jesus' solitude to ask him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And to be honest, on the surface, Jesus seems to treat the woman rather poorly. But there's more going on here than meets the eye. By the ordinary standards of the day, the Jewish Jesus should ignore her completely. I mean, first, she's a Gentile. And Jews and Gentiles had centuries of bad blood between them. And secondly, she's a Gentile woman in an era when it was considered improper for a woman to even speak to a man to whom she was not related. And as a woman, she is not even considered important enough to record her name in Scripture. And third, Jesus is worn out in charge, and she's intruding. And given all of that, we're apt to hear Jesus respond, "Bother me, leave me alone." But it's also important to remember that Jesus was called, but by a number of Jewish leaders of the time. And rabbi means teacher. And it denoted that the person so addressed was considered a teacher and a spiritual healer and leader. And it was quite common for rabbis to debate or verbally spar with one another over the interpretation of Scripture in order to clarify their beliefs or even to increase their own understanding. And this tradition continues through to the current day. So with all of this in mind, let's take a look at Jesus' response to the woman interrupting his vacay. He said, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And his meaning, apparently, is that his immediate mission is to the Jews. And it's not right to take the work that's meant for Jews and throw it to the dogs, here meaning the Gentiles. All of which sounds pretty awful. It sounds very un-Christ-like. Now, maybe he was just tired and cranky. But is that any way to behave toward a woman who is desperate for help for her sick child? However, let's look at this from the light that Jesus is actually issuing an invitation for her to debate with him, to talk with him. He is honoring her by inviting her into this rabbinical discussion, a role explicitly denied to women in that time. And I'm sure she wasn't expecting such an answer or such an invitation. But she doesn't hesitate for a moment and dishes it right back to Jesus. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Oh, snap. I mean, can't you almost see Jesus nodding his head in admiration when the woman fires this at him? Perhaps he's even smiling, and he tells her to go home, for her daughter is healed. And there's no indication that this woman had any sense of Jesus' divine identity. But in Scripture, there are several other biblical precedents for debating with God. I mean, Abraham, Jonah, Moses, Hannah, Gideon. I mean, the list can go on. And in each of these cases, important changes took place in the lives of the debaters or through their subsequent actions. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, for one thing, it's a reminder that questioning, pushing back, expressing doubt, showing your reverence, and arguing are not out of bounds. We don't need to fear offending God. God can handle our questions. God can handle our doubts, our anger, our misunderstanding. Don't ever be afraid to ask questions. God will have the final word, but we might receive insight, inspiration, understanding, blessing, Or if not those things, at least the comfort that comes from having aired our grievances, even if the answer isn't what we hoped for. For another thing, this story tells us that speaking plainly to God about the things that nag us about God and the will of God is still an act of faith. I mean, why else would we be talking to God at all? Our faith may be thin or weak, but even in a diminished condition, it is a path to truth. And what's more, our faith, weak or strong, becomes a channel through which God can work. We read the story of Jesus and the Gentile woman from Mark's gospel, but Matthew records it as well, but he adds a detail that Mark doesn't mention. In Matthew's account, after the woman jabs back about the dogs under the table getting the crumbs, Jesus replies, "Woman, great is your faith." So questioning or talking back to God is not only okay, but it is a gift to God. Don't ever, as I said before, don't ever be afraid to question. God is not offended, but welcomes your desire for a better understanding and a closer relationship. And sometimes we discover new ways of perceiving something that God wants to teach us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.